Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
And welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you. Don't forget, 545 as far as the pregame. First pitch just after 6. The number one team in the country, the Vanderbilt Commodores. First of a three-game series with the Georgia Bulldogs. All the action right here on Nashville Sports Radio. Also going on today, the opening round of the Masters. If you love watching a lot of green and then getting jealous because your yard doesn't look like that, then I would suggest maybe not watching on television because it really makes you, kind of irks you. It has nothing to do with, like, my yard. Even the rough and everything else looks better than my yard. All right, somebody who understands and appreciates the greenery of Augusta and the Masters, Steve Eubanks, best-selling author, 36 books and counting, a veteran columnist, you name it, all-around great guy. Steve, it's been too long. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Johnny. And in addition to some green, you've got some purple out there right now. Those greens are getting really crusty on a Thursday. And starting to show some signs of blueness.
You know, I was watching, and, you know, they really take a lot of pride. They don't want scores under. You know, if you have, like right now with Justin Rose shooting a 7-under 65, that's not what they appreciate there, whether it's opening round or any time during the weekend. Now, the scores were high. You really had some really nice under-par scores back in the fall. It seems like they really are trying to make a difference to keep those scores down as far as now that's being played again in April.
If you've watched any of it today, it really makes Justin Rose's 765 even more extraordinary than the number indicates. I mean, that nothing was holding, and the players all week have been talking about how firm and fast the greens are. You have to play the angles on that golf course when you have those firm conditions because you simply cannot go with the flags, and you have to pick the spots on which you wish to approach it from either a putt or a chip. And it's until you've seen it, you can't appreciate it. The undulations out there are something to behold. There are a lot of spots where you can be standing and you have no idea where your ball is going to come down because you can't see. There are bunkers you cannot see out of. The approach shot on 18 plus today with the flag where it's located, you couldn't see the ball land. You're hitting open. So the hills are something that television doesn't pick up, but it's just as green and beautiful in person as it is on television.
You played a lot of courses across the world. What about you as far as the Augusta is concerned? What is it about, or is that your favorite course across the world?
You know, I actually, believe it or not, my favorite is Cypress Point out in California, and it's because of where it's located and the club and just the ease with which you can kind of blow in there. It's a wonderful spot. But Augusta's pretty close. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to play there twice, and every time you show up out there, you sort of feel like you're walking on sacred ground. It's a wonderful spot, and this is always a wonderful golf tournament. They do every little thing right, and that's why it's one of the best out there.
You know, when I go to football stadiums or famous parks like Fenway Park, Wrigley Field, or whatever, I can't help but just think about and close my eyes and think about all the great players over the decades that have played in some of these stadiums and ballparks, for example. Do you get that same kind of feeling? You brought it up just a little bit. Do you get that same kind of feeling when you're on that course at Augusta?
I really do. And, of course, I've had the good fortune of knowing so many wonderful players over the years and really befriending Arnold Palmer and working with him on a couple of his books and be able to walk out there and just kind of sense him again and just the magnetism that he had and that he brought to that place. That's really something. I never got the opportunity to meet Bobby Jones, but I know his grandson, Bob Jones IV, very well. And he shares a number of stories of his grandfather and going there in the early days. So it's wonderful to go out there and just kind of sense the history of the place every time you walk around.
Yeah, when I think Masters, I can't help, but if I have to name three golfers, then I would include Tiger Woods. But if I was just two, I would start with Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus, obviously. And the you just think about what they were able to get accomplished, you know, playing, you know, year in and year out as far as in Augusta. But, you know, that's what really sticks out to me. It also makes me glad. I mean, I think by 3 o'clock, I think we were at double digits. The number of triple bogeys or worse today. And it's nice and humbling. I know that if I went out there, I would certainly add to that total. But it's nice to see the greats of the greats that are playing golf today, to see them struggle at times.
Yeah, and look, that's why I say it makes Justin Rose's score so really extraordinary. Because that place is a double bogey waiting to happen on every single hole. I mean, and you don't have to be very far off. It's testing you from the moment you tee off until the moment you finish. And it's every single shot you're tested, because you have to not only hit it perfect, you have to hit it perfect in the right spot. You have to be disciplined. Don't go with that flag. Go to the safe side of the green. Go over here where I've got enough to go. All of the things that really are against a golfer's DNA when they want to attack. It's just not a golf course that you can attack if you don't know where you're hitting.
Steve Eubanks, best-selling author, visiting with us once again. It's still strange watching today and not seeing Tiger Woods out there. And it's not like, you know, you're younger in your career where there's plenty of opportunities down the road. This is one of those years, certainly a missed opportunity for him.
It really is, and it's a shame. I mean, there was always questions about whether or not he's going to come back after the latest back surgery. But we did expect him to at least be a presence. If he couldn't play, be at Champion Center. If he could play, to at least be there to put the green jacket on. But quite frankly, I think all of us are just happy now that he's alive. Whether or not he plays golf again is certainly secondary to recovering and getting himself back.
All right, so opening round, that's just 18 of the 72. Justin Rose certainly gets off to a good start. How do you think this plays out getting into Saturday?
Look, everybody loves to say, oh, my gosh, he's 7-under on Thursday. That's 28-under, if you extrapolate it out. They're not going to be a 28-under, let me assure you. If it's at 10 or 11 on Sunday, I think that it will be an extraordinary feat. Justin will come back to the field in some respects. Some guys that are around even par are going to have a good day at some point. So anybody really, I would say, that is plus one or better right now is certainly in the hunt. You could even go as deep as plus two if the weather changes.
Earlier to start the tournament, the ceremonial opening tee shots, we watched Jack Nicklaus. We also watched Gary Player. Lee Elder was out there, unable to, unfortunately, hit a shot. But the fact that he was being recognized today as well, you know, talk about that threesome right there.
Well, I tell you, it's wonderful to see Lee being brought back out for, even though, again, like you say, health precluded him from hitting a tee shot. But, you know, the Augusta National for years had this history of being kind of, it's this big white plantation house and all these guys are playing golf, and right down the road, there's a community of very poor black people that the National couldn't care less about. And that is just not the case. I'm not sure it's ever been the case, but it's certainly not the case now. Chairman Fred LaRidley is going out of his way to make sure that the club is doing right by the community and is doing right in making, in recognizing the pioneers of the past, including Lee Elder. I think it was wonderful to have that moment out there with Gary and Jack at 7:40.
Hey, take us back a few years. You know, even before Tiger, I mean, were they at least making the efforts? I mean, you brought that up, making the efforts to get to that point where it was inviting for all?
There was some of it. Look, there was an old guard out there for a number of years, and it goes back to Clifford Roberts, the first chairman of the club. It just kind of felt like, well, you know, we'll give them jobs, but that's about as far as it'll go. And that was very old school thinking. Now, I want to preface this. Bobby Jones was never that way. And people thought, well, it had to be Jones. He was the Atlantan of the bunch. No, it was not him. If anything, it was Cliff Roberts, the New Yorker, who ended up being the person who was much more discriminatory in that regard. But since, probably the early 90s, they've gone out of their way to be a lot more open and inviting of minorities. And women have been able to go out there and play. I remember showing up there one day and Corey Webb is out playing. So it was a while before they had female members, but they've always been allowed on the golf course.
Having a chance once again to visit with best-selling author Steve Eubanks, veteran sports writer, also a longtime golf columnist as well. By the way, Lee Elder, his first time playing the Masters was 75, and you know today marks the 47th anniversary of Hank Aaron's 715 in Atlanta back in 1974. I wonder how much of that, here we are in Atlanta, just a hop, skip, and a jump from Augusta. I wonder how much with the success of Hank Aaron and embracing Hank Aaron, passing Babe Ruth, how much that also helped open up some of those doors in the state of Georgia.
You know, it may have. I was awfully young at the time when both of those things happened, but remember them well. And the Masters qualification criteria was always fairly straightforward, and Jones was always a proponent of, we really want someone to qualify. And I think that when Lee ended up winning, I believe it was in Pensacola, and that's what got him the invitation to the Masters. It was really big news. It was one of the first things that the Augusta Chronicle reported, one of the first things the Atlanta paper reported after this kind of obscure tour win in Pensacola. So it was a wonderful time here in the South in terms of embracing change, and I'm kind of proud to have been around and see all of it.
You know, it's interesting seeing some. I mean, it's limited as far as attendance, but at least there's attendance at the Masters this year. And when you start thinking about even last year during COVID, I mean, it's to me a whole different tournament when you're out there and there's fans watching you. I don't care if you are a professional, but if you've hit a shot badly, maybe you start thinking about that and the pressure of being in that situation with fans watching too. I just think it adds a different dimension. That's something we didn't get for the most part last year, and that's certainly something that's welcome back this year.
It's really welcome back. And I said, yeah, it's 5,000 and not 40,000, but so what? I mean, 5,000 is better than zero. And having them out there and hearing the roars, I mean, yeah, we really heard some good roars today. And I think by Sunday, as people are kind of crowding around the leaders, we're going to hear a lot more of that. It's really been missed, and I can't wait for us to get back to full strength.
All right, so we talked about this. Before I let you go, I want you to plug your latest book. All right, so you're up to 36 now, and we always like to throw out there, you know, the couple there with Arnold Palmer, the late Arnold Palmer now, unfortunately. But your new one, a little bit different. I mean, one of my favorite books of yours dealt with the Army-Navy football rivalry, taking one of the players from each team and following their life after that game, for example. But this one has taken a different little turn and has the little Nashville connection. Tell the audience about that, if you would.
This book is called Going Down to the River, and it is with a country music singer named Doug Seegers. And for those of you who don't know Doug's story, he is a chart-topping country music singer, wrote both in Europe and in the U.S. But 4 years ago, Doug was homeless. He was living under a bridge in Nashville and was embroiled in drugs and alcohol and all of the things that, you know, usually lead to homelessness. And he turned his life around and really through nothing short of a miracle has become a best-selling country music artist. And it's quite an extraordinary story of recovery and changing lives.
Yep.
Go read it.
If our listeners like to get that one or any of the other 35, what best thing to do, go to Amazon.com?
Believe it or not, I've got my own page on Amazon.com, so yes.
Well, with that many, I can imagine you would. So looking forward to reading this one. I have not had the chance to pick this one up, but looking forward to reading this one and your next one down the road, whatever route you go as far as that's concerned. But it's always fun having you on, Steve. All my best to you and your family, and continue to stay safe.
Thanks, Johnny. You as well.
All right. Thank you again. That's Steve Eubanks, best-selling author.